It's an anniversary we won't be celebrating. 1 year of COVID-19. I'm Tom Schein and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This week, we're looking back on an entire pandemic year and asking, how do we move forward? On March 7th, 2020, the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in Kansas. A few days later, the disease was declared a global pandemic. And exactly 1 year ago today,
the Kansas Department of Health and Environment did confirm with our Sedgwick County Health Department a presumptive positive case of the COVID-19 in a Sedgwick County resident.
Since then, nearly 300,000 Kansans have tested positive for COVID-19, and almost 5,000 have died. It's been a year of loss and uncertainty, shutdowns and health orders, businesses closed, and jobs that may never come back.
Along with my opinion that a stay-home order is warranted, the Medical Society of Sedgwick County is recommending we take action to limit the spread of this virus by issuing an order to shelter in place, stay at home.
I am ordering all K-12 schools to close and cease in-person instruction.
Because the reality is there is no ceiling to this.
What a year it has been.
Few things haven't been affected by the pandemic. We asked you how your life has changed in the past year, from March 19th, 2020 to today. Here's restaurant owner Rhonda Williams.
I've learned how to be flexible and learn how to just relax. I mean, you know, the pandemic has taught me how to just relax and to just take life day by day. We rush. I don't want to rush anymore.
Virginia Skinner is the food project leader for the Peabody 4-H Club. She says programs like cooking lessons have gone virtual, but she's finding the silver lining in it.
Since this is a group of 5 to 9-year-olds that are learning to cook, it's been a huge advantage to have them in their own kitchens. After chopping and measuring and stirring and baking and whatever it requires, the kids have been much more willing to try different foods because they cook them themselves.
Others have felt a more existential change. When April, she's a teacher, tweeted that she had experienced catastrophic internal shifts, we asked her to explain what that means.
I think most teachers are planners, but any attachment to any kind of planning is gone. And yet at the same time, we're being constantly asked to create more plans, more contingency plans, more. And I just realized this year, you know, I've always loved being an English teacher, but I just realized this year that the English part didn't matter at all. Like, the students are what matters entirely. So when I say big shifts, I'm not going to walk away from that. I think that attitude that the lessons are secondary, they're not as important as how the kids are doing, this is going to stay with me.
And Deb Stover says the biggest change has been the loss of her father to COVID-19.
He was part inventor and baseball coach and softball coach, and, you know, he did everything. He was a great guy. And he was just always there for me. He was my rock. And when he needed me, I decided to sell my house in Colorado and move back to Kansas to help my dad. And I'm so glad I did, because I wanted to have those years with him. And I had no idea that this pandemic would take him from me in such a horrible way, because I couldn't even be with him when he died. I was able to talk to him via FaceTime a few times before he lost consciousness, but I could not be with him. At first, they only put pneumonia on his death certificate. I said, no, no, no. You will put secondary to COVID-19 on that death certificate. And they did. I absolutely insisted. It needs to be a matter of record that these people are dying from COVID-19. I think it's critical that people know how many people have actually died from this horrible thing.
We appreciate everyone who shared their stories with us. You can hear more at KMUW.org. While the pandemic will be remembered as a major public health crisis, it was a significant mental health emergency as well. The Kaiser Family Foundation says 4 in 10 adults have reported symptoms of anxiety or depression during the pandemic. That's up from 1 in 10 in 2019. Michelle Calvert is with ComCare, a community mental health center that provides services in Sedgwick County. I spoke with her about what ComCare has witnessed this year.
Just people aren't reaching out for help overall. We're seeing folks come in who have greater mental health needs. We're seeing increase in aggression, increase in psychosis. So we're just seeing this huge need that is starting to bubble over.
How do people know when it's time to seek treatment? I think all of us have a day where we feel kind of down in the dumps or blue. And what's the difference between that and then a serious mental health problem?
We know it's time to reach out for help when somebody is feeling like their depression, their anxiety, the things that they're struggling with is starting to impact the way that they live. So I know it's a little bit cliche to say live, laugh, love, but when your mental health is impacting the way you live, so you're struggling with going to work or functioning as you normally would, if you're struggling with relationships, you're struggling to find joy in things that you would typically find joy in, those are the times that you need to reach out for some help.
You know, we're hopefully nearing the end of the pandemic. We're certainly taking the first steps to get there. I would assume that mental health issues are going to continue for some time. Is that a fair assessment?
I think absolutely right. Mental health issues are going to continue for quite some time, and I anticipate that they will get worse before they get better. I will say, though, that national research does show that after a natural disaster, we tend to see reduction in suicidal thinking and suicide attempts. However, that same research suggests that there is often an increase in distress, depression, anxiety, and PTSD following those disasters.
What lessons has the pandemic taught us about treating mental health?
At the beginning of the pandemic, we all had this shared anxiety. We could relate to each other a lot more. And I think that really teaches people that we need to connect with each other. You know, we are social beings, and when we are separated from everybody, we all struggle. So I think that the pandemic has really taught us to look out for each other, and it's really helped us to see that we need to support each other as much as we possibly can.
If you or someone you know needs help, you can find contact information for ComCare at KMUW.org. And one last thing. So many of the challenging events that shaped our country's history also tended to bring us closer together. The Depression, World War II, 9/11. That was the case in the early days of the pandemic. We Zoomed with family, attended remote social events with friends, said hello to people during walks through the neighborhood. As the pandemic lingered, it seemed like divisiveness set in. We disagreed over shutdowns and face masks and vaccines. We pulled away from others and became more isolated. As the pandemic begins to lift, we're taking the first tenuous steps to move forward with our lives. A better sense of community might be a good first step. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show is produced by Nadia Foe and Lou Ann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.